Good morning, family. I asked Pastor John if I could just share with you this morning. I have something on my heart, and it's basically about the pressing into the Holy Spirit and this levels of intimacy with the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to just briefly run through a few of them with you this morning, and then we're going to have some time for ministry afterwards. So we're going to be practical this morning, but let's just quickly open in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just commit this morning. Holy Spirit, I pray that as I speak, that you will just, that your anointing will be upon me. Heavenly Father, help me to only say what's on your heart this morning. I just commit my lips into your hands. Use me as a vessel this morning, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, my main text comes from Ezekiel 47. It was a dream that Ezekiel had, which I think is going to tie in nicely with what I would like to emphasize this morning. So the first says Ezekiel 47 from 1 to 16. I'm going to do a bit of the verse, and then I'm going to explain it, and then we'll just go through it nice. And okay, Ezekiel, the first chapter, verse 1 says, "The man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out under the threshold of the temple towards the east, for the temple faced the east. The water was coming down from the south side of the temple, south of the altar. Then he brought me out through the north gate and led me around the outside of the outer gate facing east, and the water was flowing from the south side." And from the bat, our first step is always salvation, the Holy Spirit. Firstly, we see there the man. The Holy Spirit is a man. He's not a force. He's not a power. He is one of the Trinity, and he is a person. He has a personality. He has feelings, and we need to respect him as a person. So the Holy Spirit's first job is to bring us back to God, bring us back to the temple. And I saw water coming from under the threshold. And that word threshold, you probably know it as when you get married, you get carried over the threshold. But the term really means a thick slab of wood that was put at the base of a door. Bear that in mind. Okay, let's go to our first verse, Pastor John. Okay, Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you the living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this water? Are you greater than our father Jacob?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. Whoever drinks of the water that I give will never thirst. Indeed, the waters I give will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." Here we start to see a glimpse of the living water that Jesus is talking about. And Jesus is talking. It says, "I have something for you. It's better than this water that you're drinking. It's a living water. And that is what I'm willing to give you." Next verse, please. Okay. And it was already foretold in the Old Testament. It was, God loved to give pictures. And the Israelites were coming through the desert, and they start complaining that they're thirsty. And God tells Moses to do something. He says, "Behold, I stand before you upon the rock there in Horeb, and you shall smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the people. Here we have an image of God tells Moses to strike the rock, and water will come out of it. And we know that that was a picture of Jesus that was going to be smitten for us. And then my last verse on this first part. "But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water." Just an interesting fact that they proved that it was the right-hand side of Jesus that was speared, because your left part of your heart doesn't fill with water. So it was Jesus' right side that was pierced and the water flew out of. And if we go back to our Ezekiel reference, it says, out of the south side of the temple, the water flowed. The living water that God says, "I have this living water." That is where it came from. It's the life of God that he gave. Our first step is salvation. At the threshold, that wooden beam where Jesus laid down his life, that is where it all starts. Our journey with our Holy Spirit starts at salvation. Step one is salvation. And when the man went out to the east with a line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits and he brought me through the water. Once we are saved, we start facing the east. And whenever you hear the reference of facing the east, it talks about looking towards the sun. That is the reference. We face east because we look towards the sun. Once we are saved, the Holy Spirit's main focus is to point us to Jesus. That's all he wants to do, is he wants to point us to Jesus. And he starts us on our journey, facing Jesus. Wait, sorry, go back. Okay, so our first step is salvation. What is the next step? The next step is 1,000 cubits. And then he brought him through the water. Okay, the reference there, through the water, is a reference to baptism, which is the first thing that the Holy Spirit is going to lead you to do. Once you are saved, he's going to start knocking on your heart. And he's going to say, guys, it's time to get baptized. Sometimes he does it subtly and we ignore him. Sometimes he really rips at your heart. But the first thing he wants to do is he wants to get us baptized. He wants us to identify with Christ by going through the waters with him. Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Once we are baptized, we open up the door for the Holy Spirit to start filling us. And then we really get to the exciting part of our journey. And he led me through the waters that were ankle deep. That word comes up a lot of times in this reference, leads. He leads me, he leads me. That is what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit doesn't force. The Holy Spirit doesn't make you. You can't force him. He only leads us. He leads us up to ankle deep water. And I want you to get this picture. I love this picture. When you go to the seaside, Cape Town, and you're all excited about getting to the sea, and you take your shoes off, and you take your socks off, and you roll up your pants, and then you run into that water, and it's freezing cold. And you get like this tingly feeling going all the way up your body. Okay, and that's almost exactly what it's like, our first interaction with the Holy Spirit. They call it the goosebumps and the feeling good. But it's more than that. It's refreshing. If you're tired and your body is hot and you're just feeling drained and you're on a hike and you take your shoes off and you climb into that stream, your whole body feels refreshed. Because our feet brings sensories to the rest of our body. It's a fact. If your feet are cold, your body's cold. If your feet are hot, you're feeling hot. Yeah, that's why you can just wear socks and you're ready, you start warming up. So the first interaction that we have with the Holy Spirit is the part that affects our feet. And there are three references. The first one, Galatians 5 verse 25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And what it's talking about is, initially we're walking towards the river. But once we step into the river, then our direction changes. And then we start walking in the river. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He brings us direction, which is found in Psalm 119 again. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Once we are saved, then the Holy Spirit starts to talk to us in our Bible reading. That's his first purpose, is to point us to Jesus through the scriptures. He starts giving us revelation, and that revelation takes us closer to God. And that is basically what this ankle level is. It's understanding God's word and starting to get direction and starting to walk with God. And the last one, Ephesians 6 verse 15, and your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Once we get that revelation, we get an excitement to want to share it with others. There's an excitement. You just want to share God's word. And if you're at that level, that it means your ankles are already in the river. If God is speaking to you when you're reading his word, if there's an excitement that you want to just share what God has showed you, then you're already into your ankles. But the exciting thing is there's more. We don't have to stop there. Then he measured off another 1,000 cubits, and he led me to waters that were knee deep. Okay, let me just go back, sorry. The 1,000 cubits. Okay, it's important because every time he measures 1,000 cubits. So I was wondering, what is the significance of 1,000? And then God showed me, when God talks about 1,000, it talks about a number that doesn't have as an exact number. The reference is 1,000 days is like one day, and one day is like 1,000 years. In other words, it's different for everyone. There's no exactness. And the point is that every one of these steps, it is a process. You can't jump into the river and bypass the steps. You have to get into the river for your ankles. Then you have to go up to the next level. It is a process. But your process is going to be different to my process. 1,000 cubits for me is going to be different than 1,000 cubits for you. It just means it's God's perfect timing. God determines when your 1,000 days, when your 1,000 cubits are going to be there. But it is a process that we need to go through. And the next one was up to our knees. And this is the one that's the most exciting, is that once we start walking with God, it's going to affect our worship. Our knees talks about our prayer, and it talks about worship. Acts 2 verse 24. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Romans 8 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us. Ephesians 6 verse 18, and pray in the Spirit in all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. 1 Corinthians 4 14, I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. And there's a story. These two South Africans are standing on a bus stop waiting for the bus, and this Italian comes driving past in his Ferrari, and he stops, he winds down the window, and he asked them, Sprachen Sie Deutsch? Two South Africans just look at him. He says, Parlez vous Francisch? Silence. Parlez Italiano? Nothing. Harbane es Espanol? Nothing. So eventually the Italian just drives away. The one South African looks at the other guy and says, you know what? We should probably learn a foreign language. His friend says, that guy could speak four and he's still lost. The fact is, sometimes English or Afrikaans or your home language is just not enough. Sometimes there is an urgency where we need to pray and we don't know what to pray. And that's what those verses are saying. Sometimes our spirit just wants to pray, but our mind is distracted. And he says that it's times like that where we just switch over into our heavenly language and we let our spirit pray with God's spirit. And we just pray and we pray. Guys, speaking in tongues is not just something that's fun or that makes you feel good. Speaking in tongues is our spirit crying out to God. And there's power in it. But it's not only our prayer life, but our worship life will also change. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship him in spirit and in truth. Psalm 42 verse 7, as deep calls to deep in the roars of your waterfalls, All your waves and breakers have swept over me. When we are into the water up to our knees and we start worshiping God, we get to a place where God's Spirit just takes over. And we enter into a level of worship that is beyond us, that it's no longer us worshiping, but it is God through us. And it's something we should strive for. It's something we should look forward to, being able to worship God in spirit and in truth. Ezekiel 47 verse 4, he says, he measured off another 1,000 and he led me to waters that was up to my waist. Now our waist speaks of two things. The first thing it talks about is fruitfulness. That's where our fruit come from. And once our worship is on that level, then our fruit will start to become evident in our lives. And everyone knows the fruit of the Spirit. Those are the easy ones. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these there are no laws. The fruit of the Spirit, we know it. We know the songs. We know the pictures from Sunday school. But is it evident in our lives? Do we have love overflowing in our lives? Do we have patience? Do we have kindness? And if we try and get these things in our own strength, we will fail. It is only when we are at that level where the Holy Spirit leads us that these fruits will be evident in our lives. But you know what? This is the easy part. The next one is the more challenging one. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to my Father. Here we have a challenge from Jesus. He said, when you get to that place where the Holy Spirit is up to your waist, it's not just the fruit of the Spirit that are going to be evident in your life. It's God's very power is going to be evident in your life. You are going to be praying for the sick. You are going to be healing. You are going to be raising the dead. Greater things than he did. That is what God expects from us. But we need to get to that level where the Holy Spirit is up to our waist, that our fruit is evidence of the Holy Spirit, that we start doing the things that God did, that Jesus did. The second part of the waist refers to our weapons. The waist was where you had your belt and everything that you needed. All your weapons hang around the belt. Now, in the armor of God, they talk about it being truth. But there's also a connotation is that we need to fight. That the Holy Spirit helps us to fight. Corinthians 10 verse 4 says, for the weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretense thing that sets us up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. We cannot fight like the world fights. We have to fight with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us to fight because we are in a fight. We are in a battle. The enemy is real. He wants to bring disunity. He wants to bring strife. He wants to bring anger. He wants to bring hate. And we as the church, through the Holy Spirit, are the only ones who can stand up against him through the weapons that God has given us. And one of those is our testimony and the blood of Christ. And I want to share a testimony of God's goodness because it is one of my weapons. We have been struggling for many years with our son in the sense of the medical aid didn't acknowledge his disease because it was so rare that they didn't know about it. So they refused to pay for all of the things that he needed, his night feeds and his lines and his bags and everything he needed. They would refuse to pay because it wasn't something that they acknowledged. So we went to the medical board and we lodged a complaint. And it took a long time, but one Friday morning at school, we had a prayer day. And the whole school was just on their knees, praying and lifting up God. And we worshipped and we prayed and we worshipped. And about half an hour later, my wife got an email saying that we have won our case and that the medical aid has to pay for all our things that we need and that they acknowledge his disease as life-threatening. And it's a breakthrough. And it came through worship, and it came through prayer, and it came from fighting our weapons. Almighty. And a lot of guys want to stop there, but there's one more level. He measured off another 1,000, but now the river was, I could not pass because the water had risen and it was only deep enough to swim, a river that no one could cross. The last level of our intimacy with God is where we no longer have control. The river takes us where the river wants us to go. We can't fight it. We can't walk it. We just flow with what God wants us to do. Paul made it to that level. In Galatians 2 verse 20, he said, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That is where God wants us. God wants us at that place of complete surrender. Lene spoke about it this morning. That there's no more self. There's no more choosing where we want to go. But we are in the river and we just flow with God. And once we get to that place, he asked me, Son of man, what do you see? He led me back to the bank of the river. And when I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. Whenever they talk about trees in the Bible, it's talking about the church. And the point he's making here is the Holy Spirit filling us is not for us. The whole thing is, it's for the church. The river is there to supply God's church with the resources that it needs. This is not a personal thing. The Holy Spirit, flowing with the Holy Spirit, is for the benefit of the church. In the last verse, he said to me, the water flows towards the eastern regions and it goes down to unto the Arab. There it enters into the sea. And when it empties into the sea, the waters there become fresh. And swarms of living creatures will live there. Wherever the river flows, there will be a large number of fish. Because this water flows, there it makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. This is the last step. The last step is when we are so saturated with the Holy Spirit that it starts to flow out of us. And when that starts to happen, it says wherever you go, into the salty water, that salt water becomes fresh. When you go into your workplace, you bring God's freshness. Where you go, where there is death, you bring life. It says there's an abundance of life when you are walking in God's complete surrender. You pour out God's life. The Holy Spirit pours through you, and there is life. That, in a nutshell, is what I wanted to share with you this morning. But I want us to do something practical. I want you to get an image in your mind. I'm going to ask the worship team just to come play for us. And I want you to imagine that here in front is that river of God. And I think you know where you are. Are your ankles in? Are your knees in?
Are you up to your waist or are you swimming? And wherever you are this morning, I'm encouraging you to press on, press through. God is here. His Holy Spirit is flowing. There is a river of refreshing right here. God is giving you an invitation. Firstly, come back to the temple. And then, once you are saved, if you are saved, then the invitation is there. Let me lead you. Let me speak to you in your word. Let me give you revelation. If you're already there, then press through to that overflow where the Holy Spirit becomes part of your prayer life, where the Holy Spirit becomes part of your worship life. And if you're already there, then you press on until the Holy Spirit becomes part of your fruitfulness. And if you're already there, then you press on until you are swimming with God this morning. I'm going to give you the opportunity. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I really just want to feel that if you feel that you just want a refreshing of God, if you just want to God just to touch you this morning, then I'm going to give us that opportunity. We're going to just worship, and I'm going to pray for you. But I want you to just, in your mind, see yourself walking towards that river. See yourself climbing into God's river and just sense that the Holy Spirit is here this morning.
Really sense this morning that this is a prophetic message for us, and I want us just to stand in response to this. And you know what? You can't get into a river sitting on the river bank, and you can't go deeper into the river if you are just static. And I sense this morning that there's a response from us this morning that God wants to lead us deeper into this river. But if we are the ones that resist it. It's not God. God is not the resistance. We are the resistors of the depths that God wants to take us to. So this morning, I want to invite you to stand with us just as an act of even readiness, an act of response to say, yes, Lord, this is actually what I want. I want to go deeper into the river with you. Maybe I've been in the depths of the river before, but maybe you got hurt. Maybe there's a resistance for you to go any deeper, and that you've maybe even climbed out a bit of the river and are afraid of where this would take you. There was one step there that James was sharing this morning that it said that there's a place where you get to a river where you're so deep into it that the river takes you. I don't know if you've ever swum in a river, but when a river takes you and a current takes you, you have no control anymore. It's kind of fun and kind of scary because you're not sure what's happening at the end of the river. There might be a waterfall for you know that's coming, but you're in the river. The river is in control. And there's a beautiful flow of it. There's a beautiful surrender that comes when you know that you can trust that river. And I feel this morning that some of us are here and we hear it. We're like, wow, James, it's such a good message. It's such a good word. But I'm struggling to trust the process. I'm struggling to trust that this river will actually lead to life. It will lead me to the things that God is going to release even through my life. And that you're afraid this morning to surrender. Can you just acknowledge that this morning? That you're afraid to trust the river. Because rivers are dangerous. Rivers take control. But this morning, this isn't a wild river that is out of control. This is the river of God. It's His life. It's His Spirit that is flowing. And this morning, there's an invitation for us to say, yes, Lord, I'm stepping into that river. I'm not going to resist your process of leading me and where I can actually know and experience your fullness. So just as you are this morning, You are standing there, and I want us to close our eyes because it's not about the people around you. God is speaking into you this morning. He's challenging your heart this morning. And yes, we had a beautiful picture of scripture that was painted for us this morning. And if you couldn't receive that this morning, maybe you need to ask the Lord that I need to even allow scripture to become alive again so that I can hear your voice through your word, God. That I can respond and treasure your word as such a precious thing. So this morning, we're going to continue to worship. We can continue to press into the river this morning. And we're going to declare that God is wonderful. He is beautiful. And the thing that is resisting our going forward is actually ourselves. It's our fear. It's our lack of trust that God is actually good. That he actually is going to lead us. And this life that comes from it is, yes, it's for us and it comes through us, but it's for the world. It's for his church. The Spirit of God comes to equip his church and to breathe life over his church. And we are that church this morning. So if you're a believer here, and we even spoke about it this morning, that the Spirit of God, it groans. This morning, there should be a desire for the Spirit of God to groan within you, to declare the things of God, to worship Him even. We're going to pray and we're going to worship this morning, and we're going to trust God for the groaning to stir again within us. His Spirit to groan within us, to declare the glory and the promises and the purposes of God through our lives, through your mouth this morning. So come church, we're going to continue to worship. We're going to declare these things. We say, God, give me a groaning of deep waters welling up within me, welling up inside of me that need to flow out. Just speak to your mind this morning and say, Lord, I take control of my mouth and I surrender it unto you. Right now, in Jesus' name, I surrender my mouth. Open your mouth and let living waters flow in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, opened. Living waters to flow. Now speak, worship Him. Jesus, thank you, Lord. Open up the mouths. Open up our hearts. Let living waters flow in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Kiara baba sete to baba shekiara da 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 baba. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. Come, church, awaken, arise. Your day has come. Let the living waters of God flow in Jesus' name. We thank you. We open up our mouths. If this is unnew to you, you are stepping in. Let's step in. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We recognize your presence in this place. Holy Spirit, would you lead? Worship you, Lord. Open your mouth. Release, 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 release. Living waters. Thank you that you poured the living waters into us so that they may flow. Come, church. Let's press in. Let's press in past the flesh, past the mind. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just pray. Keep on pressing. Keep pressing. Keep pressing. Thank you, Jesus. Deep cries out to deep. If you hear this morning, let's continue to pray, church. We can just invite, if you are just deeply desiring just a touch from God even this morning of His Spirit, maybe you've never been baptized with His Spirit, we want to pray with you this morning. It's one of your steps. Come forward. We want to anoint you and lay hands on you and trust that God's Spirit would flow through you. Release in Jesus' name. Released in Jesus' name. Wherever you are, God is touching you right now. His Spirit is here. His presence is here. We respond to you, Jesus. The Spirit of Christ. Thank you, Lord. We receive you this morning. We receive you. We welcome you. We welcome you in this place. You're the honored guest. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Every resistance, every fear, we bring that before you now and we step over that thing into the water. See yourself stepping and pressing past that barrier, that fear of man. What is someone thinking about this right now? God, I step in with you. Maybe even where you are, take a step forward, even if it's a small one. Say, Lord, I'm going to take a prophetic step right now. I'm not afraid. Now I'm taking a step forward. I'm going deeper into this river with you. I am not afraid, God. I want more of you, God. I hunger for more of your presence in my life. I cannot be satisfied. Thank you, Jesus. Keep praying, church. Keep pressing in. Break those barriers over your mind. Thank you, Jesus. If there's anyone with a prophetic word or something, please come forward and just share with us. We are the body. Thank you, Lord. Equip your body. Equip us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Baba ba ye te te sheko ro 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 ro. We worship you, Lord. Ba shoko ro ra ra ra. Thank you for that testimony, just of your faithfulness, Lord Jesus, that you break the barriers, Lord. We trust you. We rely on you for provision, God. We thank you, Jesus, that you provide. We come with our testimony and our worship and our prayer, and we declare that you are good. This morning, if you are here, bring your problem, bring your challenge, bring it into the river with you. Stop fighting the battle outside of the river. Bring it to the river and say, God, I want to stand with you in the river. I fight with you in the river. Thank you, Jesus. Take that step. Bring everything into the river. We worship you, Lord. We worship you. We worship you, Lord. Sing a song unto him. Sing a song unto him. We want more of you, God. We want to go deeper. We want to go deeper.